glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed by the preaching of the word of God. If you have been following this broadcast, you know that we've been studying remission of sins for the past few weeks now, remission of sins. And then right now we are studying what to do if or when I fall into sin, when I sin as a Christian. And then we started the study by showing us the possibility of sinning as a believer. Yesterday, I showed us how that the scope of sinning is so broad that it's foolhardy for a believer to declare himself sinless in actions, sinless in his ways. It's not your call. Praise God. That is God's prerogative. You don't have to assume that you have become sinless at any point in your life. Glory to God. Because the idea of sinning is so broad that if we begin to mark iniquities, you discover that you just need to acknowledge that you really cannot declare yourself to be not guilty of anything, to be free of every offense or every, you know, error, form of error or fault in this world. The goal is to keep making progress. The goal is to keep progressing. The goal is to keep growing in the faith. The goal is not to be scoring yourself or awarding yourself points. You are not the judge. The goal is just to focus on growth. Hallelujah. Focus on spiritual maturity. The more you grow, the better you get in what you do and in how you do things. Glory to God. We saw at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44 to 46, how the Bible says, there is no man on earth that does not sin. We saw at Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. James chapter 3, 1 to 2, James says, we all stumble in many things. Praise God. So the idea of you declaring yourself sinless is unscriptural. Hallelujah. It's so unscriptural. Now, we saw yesterday that everything contrary to the love of God is sin. Everything contrary to God's love is sin. We saw how that a man can even be doing good to the best of his own knowledge and be doing evil. Praise God. You are doing something wrong, but you don't even know. You don't even know. You think you are doing good. And then I cited how that the leading of the Spirit is such a key area of our lives that a lot of believers flout. A lot of believers, you know, default in. A lot of believers don't yield to the leading of the Spirit, yet they consider themselves blameless, which is very funny. Hallelujah. We've seen how that Bible gives us instruction, you know, shows us that Jesus gave us instruction, rather, to preach the gospel, to evangelize, to be soul winners. Now, you have believers who fold their hands all day long, all year round, without preaching to anybody. Yet, they are the ones who are quick to always say people can lose their salvation by what they do. Don't you know you are living in disobedience perpetually if you are not preaching the gospel, sharing your faith, and bringing others to the knowledge of the truth? What about your intake of the word? What about prayer? We saw a lot of that yesterday. What about ministering to the needs of fellow saints? What about not forsaking the gathering of the saints? What about all these things? Hallelujah. An interesting one, Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me your Bibles to Matthew 5. If you don't have your Bible with you, just listen. Understand this is a morning broadcast. Sometimes you are on your way to work. Sometimes you are in a napep, keke napep, tricycle, or in a bus on your way to the island, and then you are listening to this broadcast. That's a very great commitment. So you may not have your Bible with you at the moment. Just listen. Praise God. The Bible says from verse 43 of Matthew 5, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. See, an instruction. Somebody is spitefully using you. Bible says you should pray. How many times have you prayed for people who are spitefully using you? How many times have you prayed and blessed those who curse you? How many times? How many times? How many times? I think the common thing is to find believers curse back. Praise God. Find believers who struggle to pray for those who are spitefully using them. Believers who rather pray against. Someone says prayer is prayer. Jesus just says to pray. He didn't specify the prayer point. So it can be praying for or praying against. No, it's praying for. Pray for those. Hallelujah. In fact, the context shows you the prayer can only be a positive prayer. Because it says to bless and not curse. To love and not to hate. So you can't be praying death for your enemy and call that walking in love or blessing them. Hallelujah. So it's positive prayer. That's the reason why a lot of people find it difficult to do. Glory to God. Find it difficult to love your enemies. This is an instruction given to us as believers. We are to love our enemies. Hallelujah. Jesus gave this instruction. Look at what Paul says. Romans chapter 12. We are to love our enemies. If you are not loving your enemies, you are living in disobedience. You are disobeying Jesus. It doesn't mean you are bad all around. I'm talking about in that aspect. You are defaulting in that aspect. And so you can't be saying you are blameless or you are sinless in your ways. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12. I'll read from verse 17. Bible says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Have you seen that? Woo! Your enemy is hungry, says to feed him. Praise God. Feed your enemy. Listen. It's not figurative. It's literal. If you find out your enemy is hungry, in need, you must provide. You should provide for your enemy. Hallelujah. Someone says, is that not me empowering my enemy to fight me? Well, this is Bible instruction. Feed your enemy if your enemy is hungry. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Are you of the order of Christians who say, me, I'm not dull. Me, I'm not dull. Don't think because I'm a Christian, I'm now dull. Me, I'm not dull. Praise God. Some Christians will even say, I'm not well like that. Praise God. I'm not really well. If I change it for you now. Now, such a believer will still be arguing that it takes, sinless perfection in their ways to be in heaven with Jesus. You'll be wondering what their hope is actually. I mean, this is you not making any effort to obey Jesus in everything he has said. This is you defaulting flagrantly instructions that are given us in Christ Jesus, instructions in righteousness. You are not obedient to everything said. You are even making excuses based on your human weakness. You say, loving our enemies is not easy. We are humans after all. Yet, you still preach with the same mouth that salvation is by works. Salvation is by what we do. Salvation is by having sinless perfection. So what then is your hope? It looks to me as though many Christians have already concluded that they are going to hell. Yes, because you insist that salvation is by works. You maintain that you must be sinlessly perfect before you be in heaven. Yet you are not making effort. See, if you were so serious about this, you should be in the bush somewhere where you have no contact with any man, where you have no contact with any human, where you will not be able to offend anybody. And then you are just in the bush trying to live a holy life completely. I mean, sinless perfection. But you know what? Even that would be sin. Praise God. Because you've been sent to go and preach to all creatures. Hallelujah. Jesus sent you to go and preach. So even if you relocate and you get into the bush or the wilderness so you can have no interactions or relationship with any man, so you don't offend anybody, that itself is a sin. Isolation is a sin. Mingling with men is exposing you to sin. Praise God. So what is your hope? Hallelujah. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of ourselves. Ephesians 2:8. It is the gift of God, not of works. Verse 9, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace alone, by faith in Christ Jesus, what he has done for you and I. So sinless perfection is not Bible doctrine, as it were. It is just something we have made up. This is largely due to the doctrine of the holiness movement. They came up with the idea of sinless perfection. It is not found in the scriptures. Hallelujah. It is not found. So that even if a man attains unto it, it is not that man that is meant to declare himself sinlessly perfect in his ways. The judge is God. So, leave it to God. Let's get to heaven. Hallelujah. And let God save. See, this man, in his lifetime, he was sinlessly perfect. See, many times you read in the Old Testament, and Noah was a perfect man and all that. He wasn't talking about perfection in character. Hallelujah. Perfection in all that they did. No. It was about their faith towards God. Hallelujah. That's why the same Noah that went into the ark and came out became drunk. He drank till he was drunk. Praise God. See, the man was a drunkard. Hallelujah. Yet, he was the man that was saved by grace. He was the man that went into the ark and came out like, a blameless man, as though he had done nothing wrong. He found grace in the sight of God. The scriptures very clear. The Bible says, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. And see, if it's by grace, then it cannot be by works. Hallelujah. some time ago, there used to be this argument in the body of Christ. I'm not sure if it's still on, but it's been a long time I heard it, where people say it wasn't grace that saved Noah, it was obedience that saved Noah. It sounds good, but the truth is, it was the grace of God that provided a way of escape. Hallelujah. It was not his obedience. It was not his sinless perfection. No, it was the grace of God. Hallelujah. So the doctrine of sinless perfection is not really taught in the Bible. You need to try to read your mind into certain verses of the Bible to come up with that doctrine. What is taught in scriptures are very simple. Salvation by grace through faith, spiritual maturity, which is an ongoing work. Till you breathe your last, you would always have to grow. You would always have to renew your mind. You always need to get better. You never attain in this life. You never attain unto full perfection in your works. There will be something you can do better till you die. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, I'm pressing forward. Not that I have already attained. Not that I have apprehended. At that point in time, Paul had done over 40 years of ministry. There's still more to reach out to. There's still more to reach ahead for. Praise God. So, don't be distracted. The goal is on spiritual maturity. And why are we doing this study? We're doing this study to learn how to deal with, you know, times when you fall into sin, when you err, when you miss it. It is not like anybody is planning to miss it. Listen, we must clarify this very well. It is not that people are planning to miss it or people are planning to sin. Praise God. I've not seen any Christian in my entire life that told me, oh, pastor, I at some point in my life, I decided to start sinning. I've never seen such a Christian before. Hallelujah. So most times, it's not that people are making provision or making preparations to start living in sin. No. These things just happen. Praise God. People fall into sin. People, as a result of their state, you are not strong enough. You are not yielded to the things you ought to be yielded to as much as you should. And then, you know, lastly, you are growing. Praise God. You are growing. So, of course, there are certain things that will beset you because you are not strong at all. You are not giving yourself to God's word at all. There are certain things that would beset you, not because you are not even studying God's word and praying, but because you are growing. You are inexperienced in such a matter. Hallelujah. You are inexperienced. Some are falling into certain sins because they were inexperienced. They didn't know how to deal with such sins. Hallelujah. Imagine somebody who says, for me, if I'm in a room with a lady and the lady is undressing herself, the lady cannot seduce me. I've heard Christians say that before, which is very foolish because such a man is inexperienced. He's not planning to commit sexual immorality, but because he's inexperienced in dealing with such an attitude or dealing with such a temptation rather, he's going to fall flat on his face. The instruction given is to flee. Praise God. It is not to stay in the room and be singing spiritual songs or be talking in tongues and lifting up holy hands. You will soon touch the person with your holy hands. Praise God. The idea is to flee. Glory to God. But because the man is inexperienced, he will stay there and be confessing who he is in Christ till something else happens. Glory be to God. He's inexperienced. What about, you know, office fraud and all that? You find people who cannot say no. Who cannot say no to those who cut corners in the office place. Because you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to run from such things. You don't want to be seen as the odd one. Hallelujah. So, people fall into things because they are yet growing in the faith and they are inexperienced in how they ought to respond and deal with issues. So, there are many reasons. Glory be to God. And that's why we are studying this. To see that, certain things will happen along the way, but you must know the right response to have towards those things. And then yesterday, of course, I began to mark iniquities. I began to show for those who are self-righteous, for those who are proud and arrogant, who feel that they cannot commit sins, or they have not been sinning as believers ever since they met the truth of the word of God, ever since they got saved. I've been showing you that there is more to missing the mark than the Ten Commandments, than not committing certain sins that we consider to be big and great. Praise God. Sin of murder, sin of adultery, fornication, you know, stealing, and all those things. Many of us are not guilty of such things. Hallelujah. You see, some years back, a lady actually came to my inbox on Facebook, and she said that the Holy Ghost told her that I'm indulging in sin. I'm living a life of sin. I should fall on my knees now and begin to repent. Fall on your knees and begin to repent. You know what happened? I had just written a piece, a beautiful piece on eternal salvation, now that God saves forever in Christ Jesus. We are saved only by grace. It is not by what we do and all that. So from reading that post, he assumed that this guy must be indulging in sexual immorality. So I said, okay, what kind of sins? So list them so I can begin to confess them one by one and begin to repent one by one. She said, number one, fornication. Number two, she now listed all those things. Then I looked at her. I just read this, the whole stuff. I just began to laugh. Yeah, you know, I just began to laugh. Then I said to her, I said, well, it looks like your Holy Ghost did not see well. Praise God. Because all these things you just listed, you can't nail me. I'm not guilty of these things. I have never done them before. She was shocked. She kept quiet for some time. She said she heard well. I said, you did not hear well. Is it that you did not hear well, or your Holy Ghost, point of emphasis, your Holy Ghost did not see well? Praise God. See, people just assume that everybody is doing certain things because they preach that the grace of God is free. We are saved on account of Jesus' death alone. See, not everybody is indulging in certain things. However, like I've said yesterday, the fact that some of us have not experienced some of these things before does not in any way mean that we are sinless. Hallelujah. For God's sake, there are many other things we have done. Romans 3:23, basic scripture. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Pre-salvation, we all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. After we were saved, we had to renew our minds to walk worthy of the calling that we have received. And in that renewing of the mind, in that process of spiritual growth, many of the things that we used to do before still surfaced. Praise God. So, nobody can lay claim to being sinless and to being morally perfect in all that he does. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, the point is this. Sin is, the scope of sin with respect to conduct and attitude is so broad, it is beyond the few things that you know. The few areas in which you judge yourself to be strong and to be doing fine, there are many other aspects. And that's the essence of listing out these areas for you to know that, see, spiritual maturity is a journey of a lifetime. Praise God. It's a journey of a lifetime. We are always going to need to keep progressing. We're always going to be in need of, you know, maturity in the faith. Glory to God. So let me start from where I stopped yesterday. Bible says to honor all people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. To honor all men. It's Bible instruction. How many times have you failed to honor all men? You find believers who even honor people based on eye service, also saying that they are perfect in all their ways. We are to honor all people. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Look at this. Bible says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Have you seen? We are to honor all people, everybody. We are to honor them. We are to love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. First Peter chapter 2 verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Bible says to submit to your boss, not only to those who are good, to the harsh ones. Bosses that are very harsh, bosses that are manipulative, submit till you leave. Don't speak ill of them. Don't talk back at them. Be submissive. Hallelujah. Don't repay them in kind. Have you seen that kind of stuff? Which is very hard for a lot of people. Now, of course, if you are walking in the spirit, you find strength to be able to obey this. What about submitting to the leaders in the nation? Not speaking ill of leaders in the nation. Insulting your president up and down. What about that? Do you know that we are instructed to not speak ill of the ruler of the people? Praise God. A lot of believers, especially Nigerians, are even guilty of this. Just talk anyhow at your leaders. That's living in disobedience to the instruction we find in the scriptures. Glory to God. Romans 13. Look at this also. What about evading taxes at your office place? Evading tax in your business. Do you know believers in Nigeria are actually guilty of this also? Even churches and church leaders. Hallelujah. Evading taxes. Romans chapter 13. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 7. Romans 13 from verse 7. Bible says, honor, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So there's an attitude to maintain towards leaders. Hallelujah. How many of you see policemen and the first thing that comes to your head is, look at this bloody thief, stupid man, and all manner of things. Even those ones that you don't know, those ones that have never offended you before, you are just transferring aggression on everybody. See, you are living in disobedience, because that's not the will of God. He says, honor to whom honor is due, taxes to whom taxes, custom. And the reason why we honor them is not because of anything, but because of the position that they feel, their authorities. Hallelujah. And many people find it difficult. In fact, after hearing this, some people will still protest. Are we meant to honor them? Are we meant to, what if they are, what if, what? There's no what if. You have to submit and honor. Praise God. Look at this one. Some believers are even singing in their songs, the songs they sing, songs that are anti the gospel, anti scriptures, songs that are anti redemption. Come down, O Lord, and manifest your power is not a spiritual song. Just remove it from your playlist. God is already here. He's in his temple. We are the temple of God. God does not come down to manifest his power. God is here already moving. Hallelujah. God is here. He's at work in our lives. Glory to God. Let the power of the Lord come down. You know, the power of the Lord came down the day of Pentecost. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Acts 1:8. The power of the Lord has come down already. The power is at work in us today. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that is at work in us. Glory to God. Many Christians are singing against the cross. You are singing. Hallelujah. Even in your songs. You think you are praising God. You think you are worshiping God. But you are singing in your song. Because unless your song agrees with the word of God, unless your song is motivated and it stems from the word of God, from a knowledge of the new covenant, it is an error. Praise God. Many pastors that preach against eternal salvation, that preach that salvation is by faith and works. Salvation is by what we do. It's by perfection in our ways and our works. They're actually guilty of preaching heresies. Hallelujah. That thing itself that they are preaching is heretical. Yet, they do not know that they are living in error. They are preaching error, and that's sin. Praise God. That's sin already. If God wants to mark iniquity, nobody will stand. What about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church? Husbands in the house. How many husbands are loving their wives as Christ loved the church? How many wives are submitting to their husbands as the church submits to Christ? How many? Praise God. How many are doing really well on this? Do you know that loving your wife as Christ loved the church is a journey of a lifetime? Because that means you must mature and grow up into Christ in all things. So the point is, you only do to the degree, you only love your wife to the degree that you mature in the faith, to the degree that you mature in the Christian faith, you mature in the knowledge of Christ, which is a journey. It's not an instant, you know, reality. It's a process. Glory to God. If God wants to fault you in that area alone, you are finished. Hallelujah. Because you are not meant to be finding fault at all. That's how Jesus loves the church, without any fault, without any blame. Glory to God. How many husbands are doing this? What about making plans without acknowledging God? Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, which a lot of us do on a daily basis. James chapter 4 and verse 13 to 16. Look at this now. Glory to God. James 4, 13 to 16. Come now, you will say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, listen, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You say, by tomorrow, we are going to just go to the cinemas. Just go have a great time. By next week, I'm traveling to Undo. I want to have a business trip to Undo by next week. By February next year, myself and my family, we are going on vacation to Dubai. And by mid-April, we'll be going to the UK. And God is not acknowledging all these your plans. You are talking as though you have power over your life. You know what will happen to you tomorrow. You know what is going to happen by February. You are talking with such, you know, what? See what James calls it. All such arrogance, all such boasting is evil. He says, but you boast in your arrogance. Hallelujah. He says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. How many of us even think that is old school? How can I be saying, if God, to every time I want to make plans, I say, if the Lord wills. Don't I know the will of God already? See, James is saying, you are meant to be saying, if the Lord wills. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 verse 6. See what Paul says. He says, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Hallelujah. Have you seen? If the Lord permits. It doesn't mean they were going to be saying, if the Lord permits, the Lord wills every time. But there was a consciousness within them that the only reason why they would go to so-and-so place or do so-and-so, you know, stuff is if the Lord permits, if the Lord wills. Hallelujah. That is, if God allows this. So that means there was an acknowledging of God in all their plans. Glory be to God. Which is something missing in the life of many Christians today. Praise God. Some even tried by saying, by God's grace. Amen. But we know it's not, that's not the actual way to say it. God's grace was not used like that. But then, if it's the will of God, if God allows it, if God permits this, glory be to God. So it's meant to be a lifestyle. Now, look at how James says, it is evil to not have this consciousness. He says it is evil. So a lot of Christians who don't even practice this don't know that perpetually that walking in disobedience in that area. Praise God. Now look at verse 17 of James 4. He now ends it by saying, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He gives us a broader perspective to this issue of sinning. Every good thing you know how to do that you are not doing, it is sin to you. Praise God. You know you are meant to do it, but you are not. It is sin. Hallelujah. You pass by your neighbor's, you know, clothesline, and then you see your neighbor's cloth on the floor, and then you don't help out. You don't even call the person's attention to it. You just go your way. Amen. You see your neighbor's kids coming back from school, fighting, beating themselves, and you just walk away. They're not your children. Kilo coin. Praise God. See, the list is endless. The list is endless. Praise God. What about doing things not based on your persuasion, but you're just joining everybody. You're just doing it. Look at Romans 14, verse 23. Glory to God. I wanted to spend just a while doing this morning, but then, as it is, we couldn't exhaust it. Romans 14, verse 23. So much for marking iniquities. Romans 14, verse 23. Bible says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Imagine that. Now, when he says whatever is not from faith here, he's talking about persuasion in matters. You see other people eating vegetables. Others are eating meat. Though you are not persuaded that meats are not unclean, meats are clean, you just join them and eat. You are not persuaded, but you just join them. Praise God. You see other people worshiping God on every other day, doing service on every other day, having meetings on every other day, but you are convinced that it's only a particular day that is hallowed to the Lord. Though that is your conviction, you join them in doing what you are not convinced about. Hallelujah. Paul says, whatever is not from faith is sin. If you don't do it based on persuasion, you are sinning. Hallelujah. Imagine this. Anything not from faith, not from persuasion, is sin. You see people wearing trousers as a lady. You are not convinced to. You don't even know. You don't have a biblical basis for wearing trousers. You don't know if it is right or wrong. You just join them. You are not persuaded, but you just join them. You are sinning. It is not about what is right or wrong now. It is that your persuasion is contrary to what you are doing. And God does not approve that kind of lifestyle. Imagine this. You are not persuaded whether women should wear scarf or not. You just join them. And you do not know that by so doing, you are sinning. Praise God. Imagine. And you see, this is one of the reasons why you never find me forcing people to practice certain things. No. We rather have to persuade them from the word of God. Because God wants us to do things from persuasion, from knowledge. You must be persuaded. Hallelujah. You never find me impose wearing trousers on somebody because I feel that it's not out of place, it's not unscriptural. I won't impose it. I would only teach from the word of God. To the degree that you are persuaded, you would begin to live and adjust your life, you know, according to God's word. Glory be to God. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. Amen. What about downloading movies? Free. Movies that were released to be sold. You know they are meant to be sold. You just go to torrent sites. You download them. Many of us are guilty of this. You just download movies free. Download songs. Download books. Books written by authors, you know, produced by their sweat. You just get free materials. You buy a DVD, 101 movie. Imagine, 101, just like that. You know it's pirated, though, but you still buy it. Praise God. See, the list is endless. We can go on and on and on. The truth is, if God truly wants to mark iniquities, nobody will stand. So you can't be claiming to be sinless or perfect in all your ways if you have tested positive in any of the things mentioned so far in this teaching. Praise God. Now, the idea is not that, the idea isn't that you are guilty of everything said. The idea is that, see, if you are free of 10, if you are free from 9 of them, most likely you are not perfect in one. Praise God. You are not perfect in one. You find one. That's the idea of, if God wants to mark iniquity, you won't be able to stand. There will be one. There will be an area that you are not getting right enough. Praise God. In fact, you can get it right in 90% of those things, depending on growth. But there will be an area you are still trying to work on. You'd always be a work in progress till Jesus comes. Amen. So tomorrow we'll start seeing what to really do, how to respond to sin as a Christian, because the apostles actually taught it. They taught how to respond. They taught us how to respond to sin. They gave us the right disposition to have towards sin in our walk with the Lord. Praise God. So you are not just caught unawares. So you are not plunged into some depths of guilt and self-condemnation, which is what a lot of believers find themselves in when they sin, because they are not adequately prepared for how to respond to sin in their walk with the Lord. I want you to ponder on these things very well, and don't forget to tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, members of your family, classmates, schoolmates, anyone at all. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.